2 Kings chapter 24 verse 18 to chapter 25 verse 17, among other passages, applying God's lesson from the plains of Jericho. Though we greatly desire to be blessed by God, his blessing often seems to be absent in various realms in today's world. It occurs at the state level. The quotable editorial in the July 29 Republican American cited Great Recession. Connecticut is one of just three states where workforce has contracted since the Great Recession, and it claims that many Connecticut workers are working part-time while looking for a full-time gig or settling for a second-choice job until they find what they really want. Of course, this problem is due mainly to the state's long-standing reputation for business unfriendliness, that according to the paper's lead editorial. It occurs at the national level. George Will has a column, Hazards of Bipartisanship, in the July 25 issue of the paper, reported how the U.S. House recently voted to repeal the Cadillac tax, 419-6, because the political class came together to sacrifice the national interest to its own. Repeal of the promised tax of 40% on a portion of the most lavish employer-provided health care plans would enlarge projected budget deficits by almost $200 billion in a decade. So as usual, guess what? It's the taxpayer who's eventually going to be left paying for this bill. It occurs at the grassroots level. Susan Hay has an AP story, Food Insecurity at State Colleges, Universities Focus on Connecticut Study, and it claimed that students across the United States are struggling with hunger and food insecurity. In nearly two dozen studies, more than 30% of students did not have consistent access to food. And much of the cause is rooted in social problems like homeless students living in shelters or tents or people escaping domestic violence, end of quote. So we ask, if we witness a significant absence of God's blessing, what does he want us to do about it? The passage that we have in front of us this morning, very important, 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 17 to chapter 25, verse 7. I'd like to read it, and then we'll look at the passage. 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 17. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his place, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he cast them out of his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came and all his host against Jerusalem and pitched against it. And they built forts around it round about. And the city was besieged under the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the ninth day of the fourth month of the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people in the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were around the city, and the king went the way towards the Arabah, which is the lowland of the Jordan Valley. And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon in Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. They slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. When Zedekiah became king, he disobeyed God. He oppressed his subjects, so he suffered a loss of blessing in being captured and mistreated by the Babylonians. His brother, former King Jehoiakim, had heavily taxed the people of Judah back in 2 Kings 23, 33, and 35. And 2 Kings 24:19 claims that Zedekiah sinned like Jehoiakim had done. Did the same type of thing. He was abusive to the people. And Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 explains this, especially in the English Standard Version. Zedekiah and his officials, the house of David, financially oppressed vulnerable subjects by failing to administer justice in their behalf, essentially robbing them. The sin violated God's call that Israel's kings not multiply silver and gold to themselves, but consider their subjects as their equal before God so as to treat their subjects well. Incidentally, this is a problem in the leadership in our country today. We've got too many who are elected officials who do not view the people as their equal. They view the people as lower than them, and they're just taking advantage of the people for their own political interests. But that's not the way you're supposed to lead. So God judged Zedekiah to be captured and physically abused by the Babylonians. Due to God's great anger against the sins of the people of Judah and Zedekiah, the Lord let Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar come and besiege the city of Jerusalem. In time, the city ran out of food. The Babylonians breached the city wall, and Zedekiah and his soldiers fled from Jerusalem east towards the Jordan Valley. The Babylonians pursued Zedekiah and captured him near Jericho, his soldiers scattering from him. The Babylonians then took Zedekiah to Nebuchadnezzar, who then passed judgment on him. He slew his sons in front of him, put out his eyes, and took him bound in chains to Babylon. The reason for the putting out of the eyes would have kept him forever from being able to be a king because he couldn't see. Jeremiah predicted that Zedekiah would see Nebuchadnezzar, Jeremiah 34:3, where Ezekiel predicted that Zedekiah would not see Babylon, though he would die there. So the predictions of both of these prophets of the Lord were thus precisely fulfilled. In fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy, he actually saw Nebuchadnezzar, but right after that, his eyes were put out, so that when he got to Babylon, he didn't see Babylon. So Ezekiel was correct. So we know that both Jeremiah and Ezekiel are prophets of the Lord. It's amazing on the details like this, how God saw that his word was fulfilled. Well, Zedekiah's capture occurred on the plains of Jericho, and that was an interesting term. So I looked it up, and it's a place that has a huge lesson on God's blessing. The Hebrew text uses the phrase plains of Jericho, Orbot Yericho in Hebrew, and it's used only in Joshua 4:13, Joshua 5:10, 2 Kings 25:5, Jeremiah 39:5, and Jeremiah chapter 52, verse 8. The Joshua 4:13 use of the phrase occurs with Joshua and Israel's crossing of the Jordan River. The Joshua 5:10 use occurs with Joshua and Israel's first camp at Gilgal after that crossing. And the last three uses occur with Zedekiah's capture. So when you see the term the plains of Jericho, you think of Zedekiah on the one hand, and you think of Joshua and the people of Israel on the other hand. There's a very strong contrast there in the Word of God. Well, the contrast between what Joshua and Zedekiah experienced in the context of these verses is great. I found 10 of them. You probably, if you look closely, you probably find more. God had miraculously and amply supplied Israel in Joshua's day with manna for 40 years and an extra day's supply of it along with Canaan's produce after they crossed the Jordan. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 35, it says that there was a day overlap of the manna with the food that they had. So there was ample amount of food, and God had provided food for them in the wilderness where they didn't have food. So God marvelously provided. But in contrast, Zedekiah and Jerusalem had suffered famine under the Babylonian siege. Big contrast. One group had a lot of blessing, the other had none. Number two, Joshua and Israel had headed west across the Jordan to conquer Canaan, but Zedekiah and his men headed east to try to cross the Jordan to escape the Babylonians. Interesting. You go one direction to conquer, the others going the other direction to flee. Difference in Babylon. Difference in blessing. Number three, God parted the Jordan at its spring flood stage so that Joshua and Israel could enter Canaan, but he left the lower summer Jordan to flow to trap Zedekiah for his foes. When Zedekiah fled, it was actually July 15, it was the middle of July, so the Jordan would have been low. But God left it down, and it still hemmed him in. Whereas in the spring, when Joshua crossed, the Jordan was flooded, but God backed it 15 miles upstream and packed the water up in a huge wall. So God was helping Israel in Joshua's day. He wasn't helping Zedekiah at all. Number four, Israel's men under Joshua ministered to their posterity by stacking stones by the river. We're going to find this, that they took 12 stones out of the river and put it on the side of the river on the west shore, as a witness to further generations as to what God had done so that the people would follow God. But the men of Israel and Zedekiah's day didn't do that. They forsook their posterity by abandoning them when they fled from Jerusalem. They left their sons and their wives in the city and fled for their own lives. They were abdicating their roles as men. Number five, God honored Joshua before Israel at the Jordan. In fact, the Bible says when the Lord opened up the Jordan and Israel walked through, it said the people of Israel from that point on revered Joshua like they had Moses. But that didn't happen with Zedekiah. With Zedekiah, his men deserted him. One man was honored, one man was dishonored. Tremendous. Number six, God removed the taunts of the Egyptians that Joshua and Israel would not reach Canaan by parting the Jordan. That's why they called the place Gilgal. It means rolling, or rolling away of the taunts. However, God let the Babylonians dishonor Zedekiah. I skipped my place. So Zedekiah had rebelled against the Lord, and he was cruelly blinded by the Babylonians in judgment. So it's amazing that the tremendous contrast, the taunts of the Egyptians that Joshua and Israel would not reach Canaan by parting the Jordan so they could enter it, where God let the Babylonians dishonor Zedekiah. Number seven, under Joshua, Israel was surgically circumcised at Gilgal in devotion to the Lord, where Zedekiah, who had rebelled against the Lord, was cruelly blinded by the Babylonians in judgment. Number eight, Israel under Joshua saw their sons preserved from harm by God's parting of the Jordan River, where Zedekiah witnessed his sons being slain by the Babylonian king. Number nine, Israel under Joshua hemmed in the Gentiles of Jericho upon crossing the Jordan River, where Zedekiah was hemmed in against the Jordan and captured by the Gentile Babylonians. Number 10, Joshua and Israel would see God miraculously fell the walls of Jericho so they could conquer it, for the Babylonians fell Jerusalem's wall after capturing Zedekiah. We read that in 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 4 is where they broke into the wall, but verse 10 is where they actually floored it. So you have 10 contrasts where the people of Israel under Joshua were greatly blessed of God, where the people of Israel under Zedekiah were not. That blessing was gone. Why? The reason for this contrast on the plains of Jericho was a contrast in heeding the lesson of the stone pile. Joshua's stone piled by the Jordan River on the plains of Jericho was a witness to future generations, including Zedekiah's generation, that God was to be revered so as to be obeyed for blessing. However, Zedekiah failed to heed the lesson, so he missed the blessings of God that Joshua had known. I tend to believe that that stone pile was still there in Zedekiah's day. He just didn't pay attention to the stone pile. Or we need to pay attention to it. For failing to heed the lesson of the stone pile by the Jordan River that had been stacked there by Joshua after Israel's crossing for all future generations, Zedekiah failed to recall that lesson, that he and his generation also needed to obey God to enjoy the Lord's great blessings in his era, as Israel and Joshua's generation had enjoyed. So we need to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation from sin. I would hope that everyone in our room this morning would do that. The first point of being blessed by God is to be given eternal life by him. I received Jesus as my Savior in May of 1959. I've never forgotten it. And it was a wonderful day. And I would trust that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that today hopefully you would believe in him, that you might have eternal life. And then may we heed the lesson of Joshua's pile of stones on the plains of Jericho and recall that God's blessing for us today is by way of heeding his word. Remember, that pile was for all generations after that. I believe that would include our generation today. In the introduction of the sermon, we mentioned several issues of concern that many people face today. And if we heed the lesson of Joshua's pile of stones on the plains of Jericho to heed God's promises for our era, we have scripture passages that we need to heed to obtain God's blessing regarding these issues. On the concern of getting the right adequate job or source of income, guess what? The same passage that Jacob mentioned in children's conversations today. James 4, 13 to 15 directs us believers to follow God's leading in our lives to obtain the right job. And once we're in the right job, Psalm 62, 10 to 12 shows that God promises to reward us with the income in proportion to our job performance. Our real boss isn't really the human being who's over us. Our real boss is God. So he calls us responsible to work as unto him, and then he'll see to it that we get paid. On the concern of paying our taxes, if they seem oppressive, Romans 13, 7 to 8 directs us to pay what is demanded of us by the government. And Philippians 4, 19 has God promising to meet all of our financial and material needs for them if Like the Philippian believers, we busy ourselves with prayer and financial support of God's worldwide discipling ministries. The Philippians were very busy supporting missionaries, very busy supporting Paul and the apostles, and so God saw to it that their needs were met. God's heart is where missions and outreach is, and if you support that, God will support the supporter. On the concern of food, housing, and clothing security, the article Sin's Contribution to Homelessness on the Union Gospel Mission Organization website claims that the sins of addiction, criminal activity, and family breakdown produce homelessness. So the answer is Psalm 37:25 that says that God does not forsake or leave the children of the righteous to beg. Righteousness needs to be dealt with. So the sin that is caused for prolonged homelessness itself needs to be addressed to overcome homelessness. Homelessness itself is not itself sin. Sin leads to that, and that needs to be handled so that people can overcome it. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 directs that we avoid covetousness, and then God will help us. Also, Proverbs has lots of directives on financial security, such as working diligently versus being lazy, Proverbs 10:4, earning money gradually in righteousness instead of gaining a lot dishonestly, Proverbs 13:11, avoiding debt, Proverbs 22:7, acquiring wisdom and understanding, which is education, as being worth more than silver and gold, Proverbs 3:13 to 14. So, on the concern of government overspending, 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12 calls us to earn our money independently, to have a good testimony and not to be in any need. Since the government overspends, and there's nothing you and I can do about the government on a personal level, it's all the more reason to rely on our own income efforts and financial management as independent of the government as we possibly can. And that way God will bless. So may we trust in Christ for salvation. May we recall the lesson of Joshua's pile of rocks on the plains of Jericho, that God's blessing for every generation, including ours, is by heeding Scripture so that we obey it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the Word of God, and we ask, Father, that we would indeed pay attention to the Word. First of all, to trust in Christ as Savior for our salvation. And then also, Father, to pay attention to the pile of rocks that's on the side of the Jordan River, that we remember that in order to be blessed, we've got to heed the Lord. If we depart from God and His Word, there's no blessing. That we would indeed follow God and obey Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.